Welcome to this episode of ReAlliance Radio. ReAlliance is a networking organization of regenerative practitioners working in the humanitarian and development sectors. We ask the question, how can we create resilience and abundance even in times of crisis? I'm your host for today's episode, James Atherton. And I'm here today to celebrate some of the things that have happened over the past year. Now, this is actually the last episode of ReAlliance Radio in this season, and we'll be looking back at the past year and celebrating some of the fantastic things that have happened in the ReAlliance network. And what a year 2022 was. The world saw war and conflict. The cost of goods and the cost of living increased for many people around the world. And many of our members and our partners faced funding insecurity as the price of goods rocketed. And still also, there were some very interesting global developments. For example, commitments to a loss and damage fund at COP27, though, of course, admittedly, without firm details quite yet. And there's also what could be a pretty fantastic agreement on biodiversity if it's acted upon in its fullest, called the Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework. And this includes conserving 30% of land and oceans. And importantly, it refers to the importance of indigenous stewardship of land. So this is something that could be really fantastic. It's something to celebrate. And also, of course, it's a firm reminder of the importance of holding our politicians, corporations, and decision makers to account, because so far, almost none of the climate and nature targets set by the UN COPs have been met. So this is a firm reminder of the importance of accountability. So in 2022, ReAlliance and our global network of peers also had some challenges and also some great things happened. And in today's episode of ReAlliance Radio, we'll be exploring some of those highlights and celebrations from 2022. Above all, ReAlliance is a membership organization, and we exist to bring together like-minded regenerative practitioners working in the humanitarian and development sectors. ReAlliance members span the globe, representing individuals and organizations working in very unique contexts, some in post-disaster or disaster preparedness, some in contexts of displacement and refugee settlements. Many who are permaculture practitioners, but also people representing other movements like agroecology, agroforestry, regenerative agriculture, eco-building, the Eco-Village Network. So some fantastic movements represented in the ReAlliance community as well. So let's hear from just a few members and some of the things that happened in their year. So first of all, I spoke with Sarah from Green Relief in the Philippines. And Sarah spoke about celebrating the work and developments that Green Relief have been focusing on to do with post-disaster informal aid and also the mutual aid sector. So let's hear from Sarah.
In 2022, we developed a platform called relief.community, and relief with a leaf, the way we spell our organization, to support mutual aid and informal aid actors on the ground in times of emergencies. This was conceived after we collaborated with ReAlliance with the support of Lush in 2020 to bring together change makers in the Philippines working for relief. Back then it was for the Taal Volcano relief operations. And we brought together different mostly community-led, people-led, volunteer-led initiatives that are working with food security through community kitchens or breast milk donations from mothers or people who bike for donating goods, at least members of that organization, and eventually we are engaged with them further. We also engaged groups that are connecting with farmers and sustainable farms so that when they produce, have to produce food as community kitchen in an evacuation center, we can link with the farms and support farmers. And we wanted to highlight the work of informal aid because they fill in the gaps. They fill in the gaps and the cracks in the system when formal aid cannot reach them. At the same time, by creating a mapping system where offers and needs are visible and layered over each other in a location, we can localize aid, and that we could actually engage more collaboration between formal and informal aid and align resources and align initiatives for more impact together. We are in beta phase and we're hoping to roll out our scaling in 2023 with other communities through toolkits and city, municipal level collaborations across the government, humanitarian aid, and the informal and mutual aid actors through a learning journey and a design lab.
Absolutely amazing work from Sarah and the Green Relief team. Thank you so much for sharing, Sarah. We also heard from Jerry from Fambids and I in Zimbabwe. So let's hear from Jerry.
Despite 2022 being a tough year for most of organizations, including Fambids and I, we did have some praiseworthy achievements in our interventions. Firstly, I think we initiated a soil and organic matter testing for smallholder farmers, where we've managed to build one of the biggest laboratories in Zimbabwe, as well as securing a mobile lab, which then go and collect and does soil testing in situ. We've also managed to launch a radio program that reached several smallholder farmers in marginalized regions, those regions with limited capacity and access to information. We also initiated a program of green enterprises targeting youth specifically in one of the most marginalized districts in Zimbabwe, which is Mbire. We have managed to do technical support to more than three major organizations, supporting with training and technical backstopping on agroecology and other sustainable technologies. We have also directly trained more than 1,000 farmers and indirectly trained more than 5,000 farmers through farmer field schools, through our program on radio, as well as provision of literature to those farmers.
When we spoke with Jerry, he went on to discuss how Fambids and I are working in the policy space and are hoping that they can have some more influences this year in integrating permaculture and agroecology into Zimbabwean policy. So best of luck in 2023. We also spoke with Samantha from Nourish All. Samantha and Nourish All have been focusing on permaculture approaches to food security, supporting communities in the US and also in East Africa, alongside partners such as Bamariki, who we'll hear from later, from the Rumwanja Rural Foundation. Let's hear from Samantha.
In the US, we established community food gardens at low-income housing properties. In East Africa, we collaborate with local leaders on a variety of food security and livelihood projects. One such partnership, which I am incredibly proud to share, is with Bemariki Basimwa of Rwanja Rural Foundation in Uganda. This year, Nourish All visited Bemariki twice to support his comprehensive permaculture trainings and practical projects that uplift refugees living in the Rwanja settlement. In just a few weeks, we impacted over 50 refugees through trainings on mushrooms, vegetable gardening, value addition, and permaculture theory. Bemariki led the way, teaching how to grow oyster mushrooms out of waste materials. Together, we constructed community grow houses and packed 500 mushroom gardens, which have already yielded over 370 pounds of fresh mushrooms. Bemariki demonstrated mushroom preservation using solar dryers, and I co-designed a logo with a young refugee to brand their dried mushrooms for local sale. We also began establishing a mushroom laboratory to generate our own source of spawn, a rarity across the entire country of Uganda. We also trained 30 individuals on backyard vegetable gardening using sacks and banana stalks, and gifted trainees seeds, watering cans, and spades to establish their own home gardens. Last but not least, Bemariki trained 24 people on intensive permaculture theory. It's here where I witnessed the true power of permaculture for refugees, community building, and peace building. All of this was made possible through our generous donors. Nourishall raised over $5,000 for this collaboration. We're so grateful to partner with Rimwanja Rural Foundation, and we look forward to deepening our impact together.
Wow, it is fantastic to hear from the amazing work happening throughout the regenerative movement across the world and all of our wonderful Realliance members doing fantastic work. So thank you so much to Sarah, Jerry, and Samantha for sharing. As well as being a membership organization and a network, Realliance also works on some of our own projects, which we run in collaboration with the facilitation team based in the UK. So in 2022, what did Realliance get up to? For a start, we launched this podcast, so thank you again for listening. And we spoke to some fantastic guests, each sharing something different about regeneration applied to the humanitarian and development contexts. As well as this, Realliance also hosted some communities of practice alongside our sister organization, Regenerosity. And Regenerosity focus on regeneration in philanthropy. And by that, I mean regenerative philanthropy and regenerating philanthropy. And you can find out more about Regenerosity on their website, regenerosity.world. Alongside Regenerosity, Realliance facilitated 2 geographical networks of amazing regenerative practitioners, both in India and in East Africa. And we also supported our colleagues in hosting another peer learning circle in the Amazon region. So we spoke to 2 of the fantastic participants in the peer learning circle from East Africa, Noah from Ise, Uganda, and Bemariki from Rumwanja Rural Foundation, both based in Uganda. And they were both part of the East Africa peer learning circle. And we spoke to them about their experiences and what they gained from being in that space. So let's hear from them. First of all, let's hear from Bemariki.
I've gained much because we gather all of us monthly. I learned from Kenya, like Wegesa, how she transformed the desert area into regenerative practice. I learned also from Yise. We went there also. We also developed plant together. I visited also Kafred. I learned from them. They also came here. Also, Noah was here also, learned from me. The same with us to our team in Rwanda, the same to Kenya and also Tanzania. So this learning circle is a nice place too, because we are getting more skills, you are getting to learn from others' challenges, they are also getting to learn from ours, they are also learning from our improvement, and that's why we are having a connection. It's like a chain, because if it breaks, the world can't move.
Great. Just like Bemariki mentioned, the peer learning spaces that we hosted were focused on connecting practitioners who were doing the work, who were doing fantastic work in the areas of regeneration, permaculture, so that they can learn from one another. And Bemariki, like you mentioned, even visited a number of our partners from this community of practice in person. Let's hear from Noah.
The fact that Regionalists is able to take risks to fund ideas that other people would otherwise not fund and work with us to build up these ideas. You know, when we started, we had a lot of challenges. I think I remember asking Bemelik and even visiting his project in Rwanda, and I'm like, "Human, how do you work with refugees? Because we've been working with displaced people. It's quite different from refugees who are coming. I mean, we've been working with internally displaced people. It's quite different from working with refugees who are coming from other countries." And we had like 3 hours discussion. He showed me around, he introduced me, told me which people to contact whenever I'm in a refugee settlement. And we started out and we started working. little did I know that you also come to me and ask me, how do you work with news reporters? Because I want my work to be showcased, and I shared experiences. And this is what happens within the learning cycles. But another thing that I always heard when we are starting the learning cycles is, how do we tell our stories? I believe I'm not yet a good storyteller, but I can say I've improved a lot, and I've learned a lot through the learning cycles. Every week, every month we meet, we tell a story, we share an experience, we learn from each other, we challenge each other. And I think this is very, very key.
Oh, thank you. Fantastic to hear from Noah as well. So as well as hosting a podcast, a number of webinars, which you can find on the ReAlliance website as well, realliance.org, and some communities of practice, ReAlliance has also been focusing on creating some guidelines around how to create, how to facilitate regenerative human settlements. So we've already actually launched the first set of these guidelines, created in partnership with Malteser International and Syrian Academic Expertise. And you can find a podcast about that earlier in the season. And this is already available on our website. So we've partnered with a number of other ReAlliance members who are implementing pilot projects around specific tools or technologies or ideas, which can then be adapted in other contexts of disaster or displacement to work together to create this idea of regenerative human settlements. The idea being, if people look at these different tools, technologies, and adapt them to their own context, to their own uniqueness of the culture and of the place, then it can be a step towards creating regenerative settlements. So we spoke to a couple of wonderful people who are running pilot projects. So let's hear from them. And first of all, let's hear from B. Rowan from Strawbuild, who is collaborating on a project about eco-building using lime-stabilized soil from local clay and lime in Cox's Bazar in Bangladesh. So let's hear from B.
I'm happy to share that myself and another ReAlliance member, Magnus Will Murray, are hoping to kick off a short pilot piece of work in Cox's Bazar refugee camp in Bangladesh at the end of this month, January. And thank you, ReAlliance, because ReAlliance is funding this pilot. And we're hoping in the pilot to test the combination of the local subsoils for clay content and the local lime for quality, and seeing if we can come up with recipes for the different subsoils with very small amounts of lime to what we call stabilize that particular soil from dissolving in water. And when we get the right recipe, that's exactly what we can achieve. So it's kind of quite exciting, because from initial investigation research, it looks like we have every reason to be positive in terms of finding successful results and recipes. And when we do, those can be used forward in both the construction of the earth houses. There's lots of different vernacular styles of building there, and it can support those styles to stop them really eroding and dissolving in flood water and heavy monsoon rains, but also in infrastructure, because we can work with ever increasing what we call hydrolicity. So we can make those soils or those mixes more and more water resilient. So in terms of water engineering, they can hopefully be used for such as water channels, dams, culverts, etc., possibly even water holding containers. So that's where we're heading. It's a short piece of work. We're hoping to film aspects of the field test. We need to field test the local soils and the local lime, and then we test trial mixes. So it's a little process, but it's so worth doing properly over perhaps 2 months to get the results that then can be used onwards for in the building side, every aspect of the building, foundations, blocks, subfloors, floors, mortars, renders, plasters. Absolutely wonderful in terms of durability. So refugee camps have suffered, as does Cox's Bazar, from the political issues of nothing can be deemed to be permanent. A plus side of that does mean that cement cannot be used in the refugee camp, which actually gets, you know, gets a tick from me because of its absolutely horrendous environmental impact in its carbon emissions production. And lime stabilizer, although it can actually fit, it can fit the permanent picture. It definitely fits the durable, and it can fit the whole picture of can be can go back to nature thereafter. So this is quite, this is actually very exciting. Cox's, like everywhere on the planet, is suffering the what were 10-year cycles of heavy monsoons and flood down to every year now. And the suffering there post-monsoon is, I think, indescribable. And Magnus knows that very well. And paths, floors all turn to mush, roads. So this can also be a technology for stabilising paths and floors in one's home from going to mush and slush. It's, so hopefully a lot can come out of this 2 to 3 month piece of work. We're going to try and document it for ReAlliance and for the to update what a user guide we produced a few years ago and make the field tests really as accessible as possible, because this is technology that anybody can do following the field tests properly. And everywhere has can call on their own heritage wherever we are in the world, because lime has been used pretty much everywhere and earth building has been used pretty much everywhere. And it's just bringing the two technologies together. So watch this space. We're hoping to be able to come back with some interesting footage and results.
Thanks so much to be there. And just like Bea said, we hope to see some very interesting results from this pilot project. And these are tools and technologies which can be adapted to local culture, local climate, and the uniqueness of the place. Adapted to make it relevant and to make it fit with the ecology and the culture. And just like Bea said, using materials which don't create immense amounts of harm and damage, like, as Bea mentioned, things like concrete. So let's hear now from Paulino from Unidos Social Center in Uganda, who is working on a project in partnership with ReAlliance on vermicomposting solutions. And by vermicomposting, we mean composting assisted by a certain type of worm that loves digesting food scraps. And Paulino is working in Naki Valley Refugee Settlement. Let's hear a bit from Paulino.
As you know, regeneration is a choice and commitment to keep and maintain this planet a better place to live for generations. Due to soil which is no longer fertile, this has resulted in low production of food in refugee settlements and hunger crises. We came up with a solution that prioritizes complementary ecological and socio-economic, which is vermicomposting. It is a process of collecting food wastes and be decomposed by earthworms to get a suitable organic fertilizer that helps us both heal the soil and boost our food production. What is exciting is that we won an award among the best social impact projects, and we are participating in the Good Land program along ReAlliance. This year, we aim to build 2 demonstration vermicompost sites and train 350 farmers on how to produce more vermicompost.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Paulino. And thank you to all of our guests who contributed today. Wow, what a year 2022 was. And we're wishing you all an abundant and joyful 2023. So a huge thank you to our guests from today, Paulino, Bea, Noah, Benriki, Samantha, Jerry, and Sarah. Thank you so much for sharing your celebrations and your information today. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. And thank you so much to our listeners who have listened to ReAlliance Radio over the past year. We invite you to share this episode on social media to inspire others with the fantastic work that's happening around the world. As we heard today from these excellent regenerative practitioners, we can see that this work has great impact. We can see that regeneration is possible and can have immense impact. It has the potential to change lives and shift the humanitarian and development sectors away from damaging practices and practices that legitimize the extractivist status quo. So please feel free to share and inspire others as well. And if you're inspired to donate to ReAlliance, you can visit our website and click on the donate button. And we also invite you to check out our members who we heard from today and their websites, and feel free to donate to them if you can. It's been a pleasure connecting with you, and thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the first season of ReAlliance Radio, and have a great 2023 and keep on regenerating. Thanks so much.